You are listening to the Viloria.com Pinoy Podcast, your source of stories from the Philippines and Tagalog lessons. Hi, I'm Manuel Viloria, and welcome to Episode 6. Today is Friday, the 7th of October, 2005, and today you learn how to say that you're hungry in Tagalog, and you shall hear Part 2 of the story, How Rosang Taba Won a Race, by Dean Francis Alfar.
That's not a great way to wake up. This is! Start your day with a cup of Great Taste 3-in-1. It'll make you feel complete. Great Taste 3-in-1. Fast, perfect.
Welcome back to the Viloria.com Pinoy Podcast. For today's Tagalog lesson, you learn how to say, I'm hungry. And the Tagalog phrase for that is, gutom na ako. Gutom na ako. I am hungry. Meron bang adobo? Meron bang adobo? Is there adobo? Now, adobo is a popular pork and sometimes pork or chicken dish in the Philippines. So your combined phrase is, gutom na ako. Meron bang adobo? And now, on to part 2 of How Rosang Taba Won a Race by Dean Francis Alfar. If you recall, last week in part 1, Rosang Taba is a servant girl who felt insulted because Sir Pietrado called her people, the katao of hinirang, animals. So she challenged him to a race. In part 2, we continue the story by giving a background of Rosang Taba as well as a conversation between her and her father in Tagalog. Now in the show notes, I shall post the English translation of that Tagalog conversation. Here's part 2 of How Rosang Taba Won a Race by Dean Francis Alfar. Rosang Taba, in brief. Rosang Taba's parents had longed for a child. Her father prayed to the spirits of his people, those whose names were forever etched in the collective memory of the mountain tribe he had left behind when he sought his fortune in Ciudad. For many years, he called out to the gods of the wood and sky, but it was as if his gods chose not to hear his prayers. He always thought he was being punished for abandoning the ways of his father, grandfather, and all those who came before him. Her mother, a kitchen servant in the service of the Residencia of the Gobernador General, offered prayers to the icons of her masters. She would stand outside the Catedral Grandu and silently implore the Tres Hermanas, that inscrutable trinity of women in whose name the Espanol had come. But they also seemed deaf to prayer, and the poor woman decided that perhaps the Tres Hermanas suspected that her piety had an ulterior motive. It was after they ceased to pray to both the spirits of the Hinirang and the goddesses of the conquerors that a child came into their lives. In the endless delirium of joy that characterized their love for the child, they named her Rosa and proceeded to give her everything their meager stations in life allowed them. Her father, riddled by the guilt of having left the mountains, taught her all the stories of his people and instilled in her a pride in her ancestry. Rosa's heart grew rich with her father's every telling of legend, fable, and myth. Her mother established Rosa's presence by her side in the kitchen and taught her the secrets of the Espanolan sideboard, its medley of rich sauces, creams, and spices, and attempted to share with her child her appreciation for the language, culture, and faith of her masters. It was thus that not only Rosa's heart grew, but her mind, spirit, and body as well, as if her external nature struggled to keep pace with the leaps and bounds her inner nature knew. She drank deeply of her father's tales and devoured the fruits of her mother's suspect conversion. By the time she was a young woman, it was inevitable that her name would change to reflect what to all who saw her was obvious. She became Rosang Taba, of broad shoulders and massive girth, insatiable appetites for food and learning, and an almost overwhelming pride in her mountain ancestry. Rosang Taba and her father converse.
Bakit mo ginawa yun?
Hindi ko po masikmura ang mga sinasabi niya. Tinawag niya tayong mga hayop. Bigkasangin lamang yun.
Hindi po tayo hayop.
hindi po tama na tawagin nila tayong ganoon, na parang mas mababa sa kanila. Rosa, hindi mo ba naiintindihan ang nagawa mo? Hindi mo ba kilala kung sino ang napili mong... Kilala ko po, tatay. Kilala ko po. Hindi ko ipinagkakaila sa iyo na magsabi ng nilalaman ng puso mo. Ngunit, paano? Mayroon po akong naisip na paraan. Karera. Kung magawa ko po ito, kung manalo ako, sa tingin mo ba mapapalitan mo ang pagtingin nila sa katao? Sa isip mo ba, mababago mo ang pag-iisip nila? Kung hindi ko po subukan, kung matalo ka, kung manalo po ako, tulad ng mga bayani sa kwento mo, hindi ito kwento, Rosa. Alam mo ba kung ano ang nakataya? Opo, ang pagkatao ko.
At the Plaza Binondo. Word about the impossible race, fueled by both Sir Pietrado's celebrity and Rosang Taba's absurd temerity, spread throughout the districts of Ciudad, and the extraordinary crowd that gathered to watch divided into two camps alongside the Plaza Binondo, one of the oldest sites in the city. On the side of the Española in Hinirang, rich velvets, silks, and fine brocade created a sea of color, punctuated by gaily hued parasols and glittering jewelry. The entire Cortes was present, resplendent in their hastily constructed pavilions that shimmered in the afternoon sun. The Mother Church, foreign envoys and diplomats, visiting artists, guild lords, and the highest members of the Guardia Civil added to their numbers. Across from them, the Katao of Hinirang stood shoulder to shoulder, uniformed tradesmen, laborers and servants, forming an expanse of white, blue and red camisa, brown salakots and lilac belos. Hawkers moved among them, offering bibingka, turon and cassava cakes, as the crowd's collective heart beat in fervent anticipation of the incredible event. When Sir Jaime Alonso Pietrado y Villarreal arrived, dressed in turquoise doublet and breeches, the Española in Hinirang burst into a thunderous applause. Sir Pietrado gave a blinding smile, and an ill-repressed moan escaped the lips of many young women who dreamed of sharing his bed. When Rosang Taba made her appearance, dressed in cloth and colors of her father's mountain tribe that magnificently displayed her unabashed health, the Española in Hinirang began to laugh. But the spontaneous cheer of the Katao of Hinirang robbed their laughter of its cruel power and shook the very foundations of the plaza. The Gobernador General approached the two contestants, accompanied by the most exquisite woman of Ciudad. Rosa, he spoke as the crowd strained to listen. I assume the Plaza Binondo is the start of your race course. You will now tell us both the middle and the end. Opo, sir, said Rosang Taba. She raised a huge arm and pointed eastwards. Sir Pietrado and I must go through the length of the Street of Lost Hope and return here. A gasp escaped the side of the Katao of Hinirang, and Rosang Taba's father began to laugh and was almost immediately followed by another and another, and soon all the crowd on that side was laughing with tears in their eyes. All of the Española in Hinirang did not know what to make of it. The Gobernador General raised his hand for silence. Sir Pietrado, do you understand the course? He asked the handsome young commander. Of course, Your Excellency, Sir Pietrado bowed. That street over there, no doubt it loops back to this plaza. Rosang Taba nodded. Very well. Proceed to the mouth of the street. You may then take your 15 paces, Rosa, the Gobernador General instructed them. At my signal, the race will begin. You are a foolish woman, Sir Pietrado told her, as they moved towards the mouth of the Street of Lost Hope, and have chosen an appropriately named street for our course. Opo, sir. When they reached the street, Rosang Taba counted 15 steps from its beginning, and Sir Jaime Alonso Pietrado y Villarreal, the pride of the Española in Hinirang, realized that he would lose.
That's the end of part 2. Stay tuned next week for the third and final part of How Rosang Taba Won a Race by Dean Francis Alfar. Check out his site at deanalfar.blogspot.com. This is Manuel Deloria. Thanks for listening.